A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Daniel sent us this one. Another audio coding challenge. This time it's SQL, specifically PostgreSQL. The idea is we coach a complete beginner, someone who's never touched a database, through designing and querying a relational schema for a small movie theater, using only our voices. No screen sharing, no diagrams. Same format as the Python and TypeScript challenges.
Oh, this is going to be fun. Databases are actually perfect for audio. Relationships are conceptual. A showtime belongs to one movie and one screen. That's a sentence. You don't need to see it.
That's true. It's almost like we're describing a neighborhood. The movie lives on this street, the screen lives on that street, and the showtime is the intersection where they meet. You can picture that without a map.
And by the way, today's script is coming to us from DeepSeek V4 Pro.
All right. Let's see what they've got for us. So, where do we start with this?
I think we start where the beginner starts, with nothing installed. Let's get PostgreSQL onto their machine first, then we build the whole thing from scratch.
If you're on a Mac with Homebrew, it's brew install PostgreSQL, then brew services start PostgreSQL. If you're on Ubuntu or Debian, sudo apt update, sudo apt install PostgreSQL, then you'll need to sudo -i-u postgres to switch to the Postgres user. There's also postgres.app for Mac, which is a one-click install. Honestly, that might be the easiest path if you're brand new.
I want to pause on that switching to Postgres user step because it confuses everyone the first time. When you install PostgreSQL on Linux, it creates a system user called Postgres that owns all the data files and has admin access to the database cluster. You can't just run TSQL as your regular user right away. You have to become the Postgres user first. It's a security thing. The database won't trust just anyone who walks up to it.
That's a good call out. It's like the database has its own bouncer at the door, and the only person on the guest list initially is that Postgres system user. You can add yourself later with a create role command, but to get started, you borrow the bouncer's ID.
The key thing after installation is you need to be able to type SQL and get a prompt. That's the PostgreSQL command line client. If you type SQL and it says command not found, the install didn't finish properly or the path isn't set up.
Once you're in SQL, the first thing we do is create a database. The command is create database cinema semicolon. Type that, hit enter. Then /ccinema to connect to it. /c is the SQL command for connect to this database. The prompt will change to show you're in the cinema database.
Quick TSQL tip here. If you ever forget which database you're connected to, type select current database semicolon. It'll tell you. And /l list all databases on the server. Those two / commands alone will save you so much confusion.
Now, before we write a single create table, we need to think about what we're modeling. A movie theater. What entities exist here? What are the nouns in this business?
This is the part I love. Let's think out loud. We have movies, that's obvious. We have screens, or auditoriums, the physical rooms where movies play. We have showtimes, a specific movie playing in a specific screen at a specific time. We have seats, individual seats in each screen. We have customers, people who buy tickets. And we have bookings, a customer reserving a specific seat for a specific showtime.
The relationships between them. A showtime belongs to exactly one movie and exactly one screen. A seat belongs to exactly one screen. A booking links a customer to a seat at a showtime. These are all one-to-many relationships. One screen has many seats. One movie has many showtimes.
That's the whole model. The relationships are the foreign keys. Let's start writing them. I'll narrate the syntax.
Before you do, we should talk about naming. PostgreSQL likes snake underscore case, all lowercase underscores between words, and table names are plural by convention. Movies, screens, not movie, screen.
I've always wondered if there's a real reason or if it's just tradition.
It's mostly tradition, but it does make joins read more naturally. You're selecting from movies, joining to showtimes. Each table feels like a collection of things, but I've seen singular used effectively too. The important thing is to pick one and stick with it. Nothing worse than a schema where half the tables are plural and half are singular.
All right, first table, here we go. Curate table movies, open paren, new line, indent, eyed serial, primary key, comma, new line. Title, text not null, comma, new line. Duration, underscore min, integer, not null, comma, new line. Release, underscore year, integr, new line. Close, paren, semicolon.
Let's unpack that. A serial is PostgreSQL shorthand. It creates an integer column and automatically attaches a sequence, so every new row gets an auto-incrementing number. The primary K key part means this column uniquely identifies each row, and the database will index it automatically.
There's actually a modern alternative called generated always as identity, which is the SQL standard way. It's stricter, it prevents you from accidentally inserting your own values into the id column. But serial is everywhere in tutorials, and it's simpler to explain. For this episode, we're using serial.
I want to flag for the listener. If you're starting a brand new project in 2026, use generated always as identity. It's the direction PostgreSQL is heading, and it prevents a really subtle bug where someone manually inserts an ID of 5000, and then the sequence is still sitting at 27, and suddenly you get a duplicate key error when the sequence finally catches up.
Serial is fine for learning, but the identity column is the grown-up version. And duration min is an integer. We need to know how long a movie is so we don't schedule overlapping showtimes. It's in minutes. The Matrix is 136 minutes, for example.
Release year is just an integer. No, not null constraint. We might not know the release year for every movie. And I want to point out something subtle here. We chose integer, not a date type. A release year isn't a date. There's no month or day. Storing it as an integer lets us do things like SEL Act, all movies from the 1990s with hair release year between 1990 and 99. If it were a date, that query would be more awkward.
Alright, second table. Create table screens, open paren, id serial primary k, comma, name text, not null, comma, capacity. Integer not null, close paren, semicolon.
Capacity is interesting. We could compute capacity from the number of seats in the seats table. Just count them. But we're storing it here too. That's called denormalization. It's a trade-off. It's redundant, but it's convenient. If you want to know how many seats screen one has, you don't want to count rows in the seats table every time.
We're the ones designing this, so we get to make that call. Let me give a concrete example of when this trade-off matters. Imagine the theater manager wants a dashboard that shows all three screens and their capacities. If we stored capacity only in the seats table, that dashboard query has to do a group BY and count across all seats every single time it loads. On 2-0 seats, that's trivial. On a stadium with 80,000 seats, that query starts to hurt. The denormalized capacity column turns a potentially expensive aggregation into a simple column red.
And the downside, of course, is that if you add a seat to screen 1, you have to remember to update the capacity column 2. If you forget, the number is wrong. That's the trade-off in a nutshell. Speed versus consistency.
Third table, seats. Key RE8 table seats, open paren, id serial primary, key comma, screen underscore id intr, not new references, screens open paren id close paren comma, seat underscore number. Text not null comma, row underscore number, text not null comma, unique key open, paren screen underscore id comma, seat underscore id comma, seat underscore number comma, row underscore number close paren semicolon.
That references screens id is our first foreign key. It means the database will reject any seat that claims to belong to a screen that doesn't exist. You can't have seat A1 in screen 99 if screen 99 isn't in the screens table. The database enforces this.
That unique constraint at the bottom that prevents two seats in the same screen from having the same row and seat number. You can't have two A1s in screen 1, but screen 2 can have its own A1 because the uniqueness is per screen.
I want to note that we made seat number and row number text, not integer. That's because rows are often letters. A through J, and seat numbers might have variants like 1A or be purely numeric. Text gives us flexibility.
Alright, showtimes table. This is a core junction point. Crete table showtimes open paren. Id serial. Primary K comma. Movie underscore id integer not. Newell references movies open paren id close. Paren comma. Screen underscore id integer not. Newell references. Screens open paren id close paren comma. Start underscore time. Time stamp CD. Not null comma. Price numeric open paren seeks comma to close paren. Not null comma, uniqui open paren screen, underscore id comma, start underscore time, close paren, semicolon.
That's timestamp with time zone. This is important. PostgreSQL stores it as UTC internally, then converts to whatever time zone your session is using when you query it. If the theater is in New York and someone checks showtimes from Los Angeles, the times display correctly. If you use plain timestamp without time zone, you're just storing 8 p.m. with no information about which 8 p.m. That's a trap.
I've fallen into that trap. I once built an event scheduling app that stored everything as timestamp without time zone, and then we had users in 4 time zones. The bug reports were just, why does the meeting say 3 p.m.? I'm in Chicago. The organizer is in London. We had to migrate every row and add time zone offsets retroactively.
The lesson there is, timestamp TZ is almost always the right choice for events that real humans attend at a physical location. The only time you might use plain timestamp is for something like a log entry, where the server's local time is all that matters.
Numeric 6, 2 means 6 total digits, 2 after the decimal point. So a ticket price can be up to $9,999.99. The uniqui constraint on screen id and start time. You can't schedule 2 movies in the same screen at the exact same moment, which makes sense.
I want to highlight why we use numeric and not float for price. Float is approximate. It stores numbers in binary and can introduce tiny rounding errors. $12.50 might become 12. For money, you want exact decimal arithmetic. Numeric gives you that. Banks have been burned by float before.
This one's simple. Crete table customers open paren, id serial primary K comma, name text, not Newell comma, email text, close paren semicolon. Email is nullable. Maybe someone buys a ticket in person and doesn't give an email.
Now the big one. This is the table that connects everything. Crete table bookings. Open paren, id serial primary K comma, showtime underscore id integer. Not null references showtime's open paren id close paren comma, customer underscore id integer. Not null references customers open paren, id close paren comma, seat underscore id, integer. Not null references seats open paren, id close paren comma, booked underscore at timestamp tz. Default now open paren close paren comma, uniqui open paren showtime underscore id comma, seat underscore id close paren semicolon.
3 foreign keys in one table. A booking connects a customer to a seat at a showtime. The UNIQ constraint on showtime id and seat id, that's the double booking prevention. You cannot book the same seat twice for the same showtime. The database will throw an error if you try.
Default now. If you don't specify when the booking was made, PostgreSQL fills in the current timestamp automatically.
Now let's talk about why we don't store the movie title on the bookings table. This is the core normalization lesson.
Imagine we did. Every booking row has the movie title. Now the theater decides to rename The Matrix to The Matrix 25th Anniversary Edition. You now have to update tens of thousands of booking rows. And if you miss one, you have inconsistent data. Some bookings say one title, some say another.
Instead, the movie title lives in exactly one place, the movies table. Bookings connects to showtimes, showtimes connects to movies. If you need the title, you join through those relationships. One update to the movies table, and every query that joins to it sees the new title instantly.
This is what normalization means at the beginner level. Don't store the same fact in two places. Every piece of information should have one authoritative home.
I want to push on that a little. You mentioned denormalization with the capacity column earlier. Are we being inconsistent? We said denormalization is okay for capacity, but here we're saying normalization is sacred for movie titles.
That's a fair question. The difference is how often the data changes and what the consequences are. Capacity changes maybe once every few years when they renovate. A movie title could theoretically change, but in practice it's also rare. The real difference is that the movie title already exists in the movies table. We'd be duplicating it. The capacity is a computed fact that we're caching for performance. The principle is, normalize by default, denormalize only when you've measured a performance problem.
That's a good rule of thumb. All right, we've got our six Crete table statements. Let's put some data in. We'll insert a handful of rows into each table so our queries return real results.
I insert into movies open parent title, comma duration, underscore min comma, release underscore year, close parent, values, open parent single, quote, the matrix single quote, comma, 136, comma, 1999. Close paren semicolon.
Let me do a couple more. I insert. Into movies, open paren title, comma duration, underscore min, comma release, underscore year, close. Paren values, open paren single quote, inception single quote, comma 14-8, comma 2010, close paren semicolon. And one more. Insert into movies, open paren title, comma duration, underscore min, comma release, underscore year, close paren, VAWs, open paren single, quote, everything everywhere, all at once, single, quote, comma, 39, comma, 22-2, close paren, semicolon.
Insert, into screens open, paren name, comma, capacity, close paren values, open paren single quote, screen one single quote, comma 80, close paren, comma, open paren, single quote. Screen 2, single quote, comma 60, close paren, comma, open paren, single quote. Screen 3, single quote, comma, 120, close paren, semicolon. Three screens, different sizes.
We're not going to insert all 260 seats manually. We'll do a few to have something in the table. Insert into, seats open paren screen, underscore id, comma seat, underscore number, comma row, underscore number close, paren values, open paren 1, comma, single quote, one single quote, comma, single quote, a single quote, close paren, single quote, close paren, single quote, two single quote, comma, single quote, comma, single quote, a single quote, close paren, comma, open paren, one comma, single quote, three single quote, comma, single quote, a single quote, close paren, comma, open paren, one comma, single quote, one single quote, comma, single quote, quote, prawn single quote, close paren, semicolon, four seats in screen one.
In a real theater, you'd script this, a loop that generates rows A through J, seats one through whatever. But for learning, four seats is enough.
Just so the listener could picture it, those four seats are arranged like a tiny grid. Row A has seats 1, 2, and 3. That's the front row. Row B has seat 1. So if you're looking at the screen, Alice is sitting in the front row, far left. Bob is next to her in seat A2. A3 is empty, and the entire B row is empty except for B1.
We need some that are today, for our later queries. Insert. Into showtimes, open parent movie, underscore id, comma screen, underscore id, comma start, underscore time, comma price, close parent values. Open parent 1, comma 1, comma. 1, comma, single quote, 2026-04-28, 19:0:0-04 single quote, comma 12.50 close paren semicolon. That's the matrix, screen 1, today at 7 p.m. Eastern. The dash 04 is the UTC offset for Eastern Daylight Time. PostgreSQL understands this and converts it to UTC internally.
Let's add a couple more. I insert into showtimes open parent movie underscore id comma screen underscore id comma start underscore time comma price close parent values open parent 2 comma 2 comma single quote comma 11 dot 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 close parent semicolon dot 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 tundi colon dot 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 ton dot 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 close parent comma open parent third ton dot single quote 2026-04-2818 colon 30 colon dot 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 close parent semicolon dot 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 close parent semicolon.
Inception at 8 p.m. in screen 2, everything everywhere, all at once at 6003 p.m. in screen 3.
Insert into customers open paren name, comma email, close paren. Values open paren single, quote Alice, single quote, comma, single quote Alice at example.com, single quote, close paren, comma open paren single quote, Bob single quote, comma single quote, Bob. At example.com, single quote, close, paren, comma, open paren, single quote, Charlie, single quote, comma, N-U-L-L, close paren, single quote, comma, N-U-L-L-L, close paren, semicolon.
Charlie boards a ticket in person, no email. That N-U-L-L is fine because we didn't put not null on email.
Insert into bookings, open paren showtime, underscore id, comma, customer, underscore id, comma, seat, underscore id, close paren, values open paren 1, comma, 1, comma, 1, comma, 1, close paren, comma, open paren, 1, comma, 2, comma, 2, close paren, semicolon. Alice and Bob both booked seats for the matrix. Alice has seat A1, Bob has A2.
Now we have real data. Let's query it. First query, all movies showing today.
Select m.title, comma, s.start, underscore time, from movies. M join showtimes, S-O-N m.id equals s.movie underscore iw. Here s.start underscore time, colon, colon, date equals current, underscore date, semicolon.
Let's break that down. M and S are table aliases, shorthand so we don't have to type movies and showtimes everywhere. The Jane pairs up rows for movies and showtimes where the movie it matches. The colon, colon, date casts the timestamps to a date, stripping off the time part, so we can compare it to current date, which is today's date.
If you run that, you'll get three rows. The Matrix, Inception, and Everything Everywhere, all at once with their start times. All the movies we schedule for today.
Now here's a beginner trap. If you wrote where South start time equals current date without the cast, it wouldn't work. Current date is a date. Start time is a timestamp, subs. PostgreSQL would try to compare midnight of today to a specific time, and nothing would match.
That's such a common mistake. I've seen people write where start time equals current date and then stare at an empty result set wondering why their data disappeared. The database isn't broken. It's doing exactly what you asked. You asked for rows where the timestamp is exactly midnight and your showtimes are at 7 p.m.
Second query. Finding available seats for a specific showtime. This is the one that uses the left join, anti-join pattern. Here we go. Select c.id, comma c.row, underscore number, comma c.seat, underscore number, from. Seed C join screens, SE join C dot screen, underscore id equals SE join showtimes, SE join showtimes, SE join showtimes, SE join, SE joy E, SE dot screen, underscore id equals SE joy, Beakings B01B dot C join bookings, B01B dot seat, underscore id equals SE joy H, each equals SE joy E, S and little semicolon.
That's a mouthful. Talk through it. We start with all seats. We join to screens to find which screen the seat is in, then to showtimes to find which showtime is happening in that screen, and we specifically ask for showtime ID 1. Then the LEF join to bookings is the key. LEF join means keep every row from the left side, even if there's no match on the right. If there's no booking for a particular seat at this showtime, the booking columns are all NULL. Then, where B.ID is nullo filters to only those rows, the seats with no booking.
If you run this for showtime 1, which is the matrix in screen 1, you'll see seats A3 and B1, the two seats Alice and Bob didn't book. Alice took A1, Bob took A2.
This is called an anti-join. Beginners often try something like where seat underscore id not. In open paren acl, seat underscore id from, bookings where showtime underscore id equals 1, close paren. That works, but the LEF join is nullo pattern is often faster in PostgreSQL. The query planner knows how to optimize it.
There's another reason to prefer left join over not in. If your subquery returns any nullers, not in can give you surprising results. If there's even one null in that list, the whole not in evaluates to unknown, and you get zero rows back. It's a gotcha that has burned countless people.
Oh, that's nasty. So not in with a subquery that might contain null ill is basically a landmine.
Left join is nuller doesn't have that problem. It's explicit about what you want.
This is a great illustration of inner join versus left join. Inner join says, only give me rows where there's a match in both tables. Left join says, give me all rows from the left table and fill in NULs from the right table where there's no match. The available seats query needs LEF join because we want all seats, the ones with bookings and the ones without.
If you used Ein and Toya join here, you'd only see seats that have bookings, the exact opposite of what you want. You'd be showing the unavailable seats instead of the available ones.
Third query, total tickets sold per movie this week, ordered by most popular. This is our group BY and aggregate. Select m.title, COUSCCC semiquant, open paren b.id, close paren as tickets underscore sold, from movies m join showtimes son m.id equals s.movie underscore id join bookings bon b.showtime underscore id equals s.id, where s.start underscore time greater than or equals date underscore trunk, open paren single quote week single quote comma current underscore date, close paren group by m.id comma m.title or by tickets underscore sold desc semicolon.
Date trunk with week gives us Monday of the current week, so this filters to showtimes from this Monday onward. COUT of B.ID counts how many bookings exist, but only non-null IDs. If a showtime has no bookings, count to B.ID returns 0 for that group.
Here's a critical beginner error to preempt. Group by collapses rows. Every column in your select clause must either be in the group BY clause or be wrapped in an aggregate function like count, sum, AVG. If you put m.title in select but not in group BY, PostgreSQL will throw an error. MySQL might let you get away with it, but PostgreSQL is strict.
Which is actually a good thing. MySQL's lax behavior can hide bugs. PostgreSQL forces you to be explicit about what you're grouping.
I want to give a concrete example of why MySQL's behavior is dangerous. Imagine you have a query that groups by movie ID, but selects the title without putting it in group BY. MySQL will just pick an arbitrary title from the group and show it to you. It won't error. You might get the right answer 99 times out of 100, and then one day you get a wrong title and never notice. PostgreSQL refuses to let you write that query. It's protecting you from yourself.
Also, were versus having. Were filters rows before grouping. Having filters groups after grouping. If you want to say, only show movies with more than 10 tickets sold, that's having count open paren b.id close paren greater than 10. You cannot put that in var. The aggregate hasn't been computed yet when var runs.
That's a great distinction. Where is the bouncer at the door deciding who gets into the party? Having is the judge at the end deciding which groups make the podium. Different stages, different rules.
Fourth query. This is the climax. A window function with a CTE. We're going to rank movies by total revenue.
With movie underscore revenue AS, open paren select m dot title, comma, sum open paren s dot price, close paren AS total. Underscore revenue from movies met join showtimes SO1 m.id equals s.movie underscore id join bookings BO1 b.showtime underscore id equals s.igrop bym.igrob bym.igrop bym.ig comma select title comma total underscore revenue comma rank open paren order by total underscore revenue desc close paren as revenue underscore rank from movie underscore revenue underscore rank from auber CR time, Auber Y.
That with clause is a CTE, a common table expression. It's basically a name subquery. You define it once at the top, then you can reference it as if it were a table in the main query. It makes complex queries readable.
The rank function is a window function. It assigns a rank to each row based on the order by inside the over clause. Unlike group by Y, window functions don't collapse rows. Every row keeps its identity, and the rank is added as a new column. If two movies tie for revenue, they get the same rank, and the next rank is skipped. So you might see ranks 1-1-3. Densi underscore rank doesn't skip, it would give you 1-1-2.
Let me give an analogy for window functions, because they're weird the first time. Imagine you're in a classroom, and the teacher says everyone stand up, but stay at your desk. Group. By would be everyone go stand in groups by height. your individual identity disappears into the group. A window function is more like the teacher walking around and putting a sticky note on each desk with your rank in the class. You're still you. You're still at your desk, but now you have a new piece of information attached.
You keep your row, you just get an extra column of computed context.
Window functions feel like magic when you first encounter them. You're doing a calculation across a set of rows without losing the individual row detail. It's genuinely one of the most powerful features in SQL.
A beginner who's followed along with this episode has now written a CTE with a window function. That's advanced PostgreSQL, and it happened in what, an hour?
Let's talk about a few more concepts we've been using implicitly. Every primary KE column is automatically indexed. That's why lookups by ID are fast. If you frequently query by start time, say, find all show times starting between 6 p.m. and 9 p.m., you'd want to create an index on that column. Cheat. Index underscore showtimes underscore start underscore time on showtimes open paren start underscore time close paren. An index is like the index at the back of a book. It tells the database exactly where to find the rows without scanning the entire table.
The trade-off with indexes is worth mentioning. Every index makes writes slower. When you insert a new showtime, PostgreSQL has to update the table and all its indexes, so you don't just index every column. You index the columns you actually search on. It's a classic read versus write trade-off.
Foreign keys aren't just documentation. They're enforced constraints. If you try to insert a booking with a showtime ID that doesn't exist, PostgreSQL rejects it. If you try to delete a movie that still has showtimes referencing it, PostgreSQL rejects that too, unless you set up on-delete cascade, which would automatically delete the showtimes. We didn't do that here because you probably don't want to accidentally wipe out your booking history.
Imagine a theater manager deletes The Matrix from the movies table because they're not screening it anymore, and CA Cascade silently wipes out every booking that ever referenced a Matrix showtime. That's historical sales data. Gone. For financial records, you almost always want the default behavior. Reject the delete and make the user explicitly clean up the dependencies first.
Let's also mention quoting. This is the number one beginner mistake in PostgreSQL. Single quotes for string values, the matrix. Double quotes are for identifiers, table names, column names. If you write the matrix with double quotes, PostgreSQL thinks you're referring to a column named the matrix, and it will error because that column doesn't exist.
I've done this so many times. You're typing along, feeling confident, and then error, column, the matrix does not exist. And you stare at it thinking, I'm not trying to reference a column, I'm giving you a value. But the double quotes tell PostgreSQL otherwise. Single quotes for values, double quotes for identifiers. Or better yet, just use single quotes for values and avoid double quotes entirely by never creating tables or columns with uppercase letters or spaces.
Every statement in CSQL ends with a semicolon. If you forget it, CSQL thinks you're still typing. The prompt changes from equals hash to dash hash, waiting for more input. Just type a semicolon on the new line and hit enter.
Another one. Ambiguous column names. When you join movies and showtimes, both tables have an id column. If you write just id and you're a select, PostgreSQL doesn't know which one you mean. You need table aliases, m.id, s.id, s.id.
That error message is actually pretty clear. Column reference id is ambiguous, but when you're new, it's intimidating. The fix is always the same. Prefix the column with the table alias.
Alright, let's step back and appreciate what we've built. Six tables properly normalized with foreign keys enforcing referential integrity. We can find movies showing today, check seat availability, aggregate ticket sales, and rank movies by revenue, all in PostgreSQL, all from the command line.
The whole thing was done in audio. No diagrams, no screen sharing, just talking through the relationships.
That's the thesis of these challenge episodes. You don't need to see a database schema to understand it. You need to hear the relationships. A showtime belongs to one movie and one screen. A booking links a customer to a seat at a showtime. Those are sentences. Once you can say them, you can model them.
There's a deeper point here about how we learn technical concepts. So much of programming education is visually oriented. diagrams, code on screens, videos. But databases are fundamentally about language. They're about naming things and describing how those things relate. That's an auditory verbal skill. You can absolutely learn it through conversation.
Now, Hilbert's daily fun fact. The shortest war in recorded history was the Anglo-Zanzibar War of 1896, which lasted between 38 and 45 minutes.
That's shorter than this podcast episode. So, what should our listener actually do after this episode? First, install PostgreSQL. Get SQL working. Create the Cinema database. Type out those six Creed table statements. Type out the insert statements. Run the queries. Break things on purpose. Try inserting a booking for a seat that doesn't exist and watch PostgreSQL reject it.
Then change the schema. Add a genres table and a movie genres junction table. Add a screenings table that separates the concept of this movie is playing from this specific showing at this specific time. Experiment with indexes. Create one on start time and see if your date filter queries get faster with EXPlain Analyze.
The real learning happens when you start modifying. What if you want to track cancellations? Add a canceled at column to bookings. What if you want loyalty points? Add a points column to customers. Every real-world feature is just another column or another table.
The concepts here, normalization, foreign keys, joins, grouping, window functions, these transfer to every relational database. MySQL, SQLite, SQL Server. The syntax varies slightly, but the ideas are identical.
One forward-looking thought. The database you build for a small movie theater is the same shape as the database for an airline reservation system. Seats become seats on a flight. Showtimes become flights. Screens become aircraft. The patterns scale. Learn them once, and you see them everywhere.
That's the thing about relational modeling. Once your brain learns to see entities in relationships, you can't unsee them. You'll walk into a coffee shop and start mentally modeling the orders table. You'll book a hotel room and think about the foreign key from reservation to room. It's a curse and a superpower.
Thanks to our producer, Hilbert Flumingtop, for keeping us on the rails. This has been My Weird Prompts. Find us at myweirdprompts.com or search for us on Spotify.
Go build something.
This episode was generated using Gemini Flash 3. Text-to-speech engine was Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, My Weird Prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth's slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The host dig in, the host dig deep. The stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too, from half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird prompts, that's the close. From sloth, from man, from long ear host. My weird prompts, until next time, stay curious, keep weird in mind.